Alice Azumi Edie Gubbles, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've had such an interesting career and background, so many fascinating things that you've done. But one of the things you're focused on right now in your homeland of Ghana is running an organization called Pambe. It promotes mother tongue-based bilingual education. So this is very interesting as we talk in the United States all the time about the importance of language immersion and being bilingual. But what is it that you're focused on? Because you're kind of looking at it from the other side, focusing on the mother tongue-based bilingual education. Why is that?
Well, language for me is really your language and culture is your identity. A lot of the rural areas, nobody speaks English. English is our official language in Ghana, yes. But many, many, many people, 70% of the population live in rural areas, and they speak their local languages. So you start school with your local language. And from my own experience, when I started school, it was very difficult because we were supposed to speak English. And in fact, you were punished if you were caught speaking your mother tongue, your native language. And I think that made those early years very, very difficult for the children, especially, I want to say, especially in the rural areas. And so mother tongue, start with what the children come to school with. They come to school with their language. So we start with that. And then we add English. We can add other languages. We add, we don't replace.
So this seems like, you know, something so simple that you would start where the children know, you know, how to communicate so that they can move toward being bilingual. I mean, I think that's a fabulous goal, but to just, as you said, to replace it right at the first day of school, replace their language. And I mean, how confusing that must have been for you and the consequences of that, right? That kids end up being frustrated and not doing well in school and dropping out of school, right? I mean, was this your experience?
Exactly. I mean, you can sense how it is. If I start speaking Mampuruli to you, Dinyaula, Iyuri, it's just like noise. And it's very, very difficult. It's very frustrating. And research and experiences show that if you start your own language, if you are literate in your own language, then it is much easier and faster to learn other languages.
Especially at a young age, too.
At a young age. And it helps with your other subjects. Because if you are being taught in math and you don't know what the word 100 means, it's very difficult to have the concept of our decimal system.
So how were you able to persevere through this? Because you obviously now run this organization that focuses on mother tongue bilingual education, but this was not your experience, as you mentioned. So how were you able to survive that and get to a point? Because I think many of your classmates, from what I understand, did not, right? And not only that, but end up going to college and earning master's degrees and becoming a teacher. I mean, all of these things. How can you overcome such challenges?
You know, the human being is quite resourceful. I think God gives us a lot of resources to draw on. And I had a lot of support from my father, actually, who really insisted that I continue school, even though it was very, very difficult. And a lot of my mates in the primary school dropped out. But he was really a key player in my continuation. But I always had that in mind. When I go back home and I see how my brother's children, my sister's children, there is still that struggle. And so when I came here in 2000, I came with my husband who was working with World Neighbors. And I had always had this idea, I mean, I want to go back to Ghana and do something in education. At the beginning, it was just do something in education. And so I decided to go back to school, and I went to OCU and did a master's in education. One of the areas I really wanted to explore more was this whole thing about language and culture, how they are related and how they can influence learning.
Well, it's such an accomplishment in and of itself, what you've done on your own. But then to take that knowledge and that education and go back to your home country in Ghana and start this organization and begin to educate children in a more, I guess, friendly way, right, so that they can learn more readily at that young age. But what has the reception been in Ghana? How have you been able to convince your fellow citizens in Ghana that this is the best way? How have you been able to convince the government that this is the best way to educate children in,
yes,
in your home country?
It's very interesting. Just the time I was getting excited and going back and doing some feasibility studies about whether this is an idea that can fly in my own country. At that time, the government had also just started building a policy for like grade 1 to 3 that the language of instruction in the classroom should be the language of the area where the children come from. So we have it as a policy, but the application is still not up to scratch.
But it's interesting that the government made this change on its own. I mean, what was behind that? It was just some realization that it was,
yes,
that education is so critical, obviously. Having an educated population, that jumping immediately to a foreign language, basically, in the classroom was just not acceptable. I mean, that they had kind of come to these terms on their,
yes,
own.
Yes, and I think at that time, 2004, actually, I think it was a USAID-supported project in two different areas in southern Ghana, too, because it was noticed that the comprehension level, reading and comprehension, was very, very poor. Children would be able to read, but they don't know what it is. You pronounce the words, but what do they mean? And so this pilot project was really to prove that you need to find a way for the children to learn and to understand the concept in their own language.
Right, they need to learn that. They need to learn English as their second language.
Their second language. Yeah. So I think that research and the findings really were eye-opening, especially with development partners like USAID and the British, and actually coming to help with that kind of research. It brought the realization that it is important to start first with the first language of the children, and then you add. And when I went there, you know, it was interesting going and talking with people about what I was trying to do. There was such a welcoming and saying yes. Because I said, look, that's what we have. We have that in our hands. So let's start with that. Let's start with that and valorize that. And then add. You can add as many as you want. But that's what we have.
To start with that mother tongue.
To start with that mother tongue.
So it made sense. It clearly made sense.
It made sense. And I visited our traditional leaders, and we had a very active advisory committee set up. There were quite a few people, older educationists, who saw this. Yes, we should do that. And yeah, the idea was. And now our district area, they come to see how we actually practice it in the classroom, because it's a policy, but the application is still.
Yeah, so like you said, the implementation of the policy, the application of the policy is still where you struggle. So finally then, what is your hope from here on out? I mean, you're just working community by community, rural area by rural area, trying to convince and show and demonstrate how and why education and the way it's delivered should be changed. And how hopeful are you that this is going to happen, and in what period of time?
Oh, this is interesting. Our program is like an action learning project. The Pambegana supported school is called Laangum. Laangum in the local language means teamwork. And they said, we have a saying, Laangum Katum, many hands make light work, in the English paraphrasing. And they said, we have worked very hard. It is our school. It's for our children. But we know that many other people far away have also contributed. So it is really an effort all of us together have come to. So Laangum is the name of that school. So there are three things. There is the mother tongue first, and then there is the hands-on approach, child-centered approach, and then the community involvement aspect of it.
Providing them ownership of that.
Of that. And they just see it as theirs, really.
Well, fascinating story, Alice. Thank you so much for being with us today on Worldviews, and best of luck to you and your community in Ghana.
Thank you so much. Thank you.